Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadik Ches, and we are 16 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza and for Harav Shlomo Eliezer Ben Shendel Rachel. So yesterday we began the sugya of Taruvos, which is predicated on the idea of Bittel B'Roiv. So usually when you think of Roiv, you're thinking of the classic example, the Torah's example of Achri Rabim Lahatos. There's a suffix, you're not sure, Bezdin's not sure how to resolve the suffix. So we assume that what the Roiv is, whatever is most probable, statistically speaking, is what happened. So, for example, if there's a Bezin Shalchav Gimel and they're trying to determine whether Reuven killed Shimon, Reuven didn't kill Shimon, was Reuven Mechal Shabbos, was he not Mechal Shabbos, if Reuven Dayanim say he was, we'll assume he was. If Reuven Dayanim say he was, and he wasn't. But there are other concepts of Reuven as well. The halacha of Bittel B'Reuven is very different than the classic Reuven. And that is, when you have a taruvos, you have a mixture of two things, Isser and Heter, the halacha is that we don't look at the taruvos as a mixture of Isser and Heter, but rather we're forced to make a decision. We're forced to decide whether this taruvos should be deemed Isser or whether it should be deemed Heter. How do you decide? Reuv. If Reuv the taruvos is Isser, we're going to look at the taruvos if it's Isser. If Reuv of the taruvos is Heter, then we're going to look at the taruvos as if it's Heter. What happens to the miut? It becomes bottle to the Reuv, and we say that whatever the Reuv is, that's what this is going to be. Thus, you have a tremendous chiddush. You can have a little bit of non-kosher food that's mixed together with your kosher food. As long as the kosher food is the majority, we're now going to look at this taruvos as if it's 100% kosher. And when we talk about a taruvos of Isser Heter, there are two types of taruvos. There's a taruvos of lach belach. There's a taruvos of yavish beyavish. Yavish beyavish first. That's where you have three pieces of meat. Three hamburgers, they all look the same. Two of them you know are kosher. One of them you know is not kosher. Right now, because they look the same and they all got mixed up, so you don't know which are the not kosher and which one is the non-kosher. We say that being that the majority, two out of the three are kosher, even though we know that one is not kosher, all three become mutter. It's a taruvos yavish beyavish. It's learned out from the same exact pasuk that teaches me all the other halachas of Reuv. Achri Rabim Lahatos, all three hamburgers are going to be kosher now. To the extent that there's a shita serishonim, the rush that says you can eat all three at the same time. How can you eat all three at the same time? You know for sure one of them is not kosher. You know for sure one of them was not kosher. But now that there's a halacha bittel b'Reuv, bittel b'Reuv tells me that we look at all three as if they're kosher. The Rashba argues, the Rashba says you have to eat them one at a time. There's no way you could all eat all three at once. There's a Shitas Rashi that says that you could eat the hamburgers, but you have to get rid of one of them first. So you throw away one, and then you could eat the other two. What's the methodology? You throw away one, we'll have the right to assume that the one you threw away was the non-kosher one, even though mechatesi, but that's the rule. The point is that there's a concept of taruvos yavish beyavish that is important in the halachas a bit of Reuven. But there's another type of taruvos, which is really the one that we're discussing right now, and that's a taruvos lach belach. That's where you have Isser Heter that literally merged together and became one. It's what the Gemara refers to as tam ke'ikr. It comes up in different shapes and sizes and forms, but the point is where you have Isser and Heter, and they were literally nis'arev into one. You have a pot of kosher meat, and you threw a non-kosher piece of meat into the mix, and now they all got cooked together. So it's not three hamburgers, I don't know which one is which. I have a pot that has food of kosher and non-kosher food mixed up completely. So in a taruvos yavish beyavish, the physical Isser Heter are not mixed. They didn't merge. They didn't cook together. Nothing chemically happened between the two to merge them into one. It's just that we don't know. There's a confusion. The taruvos is the confusion. Over here, the taruvos is physical. It's chemical in nature. What happened was the Isser and the Heter physically got mixed together. There too, we say the halacha of Achri Rabim Lahatos. Stated in that, is a very important caveat. The caveat is tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar says that as long as the Isser is nice and tam, even though it's a miut in this taruvos, halacha is, the taruvos is still going to be aser. Tam ki ikar, deraisa, the Rabbanu will speak more about that again in the end of the daf. But as we spoke out briefly in the hakdamah to yesterday's shir, it's machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi shita is that tam ki Iker is the Rabbanon, all the Psukim that the Gemara brings for Tam Iker is the Nasmach, the Ba'alma. Reveinu Tam Shitas, it's Deiraisa, with one caveat, it's only Deiraisa if the Taruva is Mim B'Shein Aminai. If the Taruva is Mim B'Aminai, then even Reveinu Tam agrees that the Halacha is Tam Iker is only going to be with the Rabbanon. How do you define Mim B'Aminai? How do you define Mim B'Shein Aminai? That too we're going to see at the end of the daf. Either way, it's what comes out, Halacha L'maisa, whether it's Deiraisa, the Rabbanon, the whole Tumul, and the Rishonim, and the Poiskim. But one thing is clear, that if you have a Taruva is Lach B'Lach, even though there is an idea of Achi Rabim Lahatos, but there's also an idea of Tam Kiker that says that you can't just say, oh, Roiv of the pot is kosher meat, so big deal, one piece of chazer fell into the pot. Roiv of it is kosher. No, that could have, would have, should have been. That's not the way it is. Because now there's a new Halacha of Tam Kiker. And Tam Kiker says that as long as the dover muet is nice and tam in the taruvos, so the halacha is that the whole taruvos is going to be awesome. Now, tam kikr doesn't apply by yavish b'yavish, because yavish b'yavish, there's no tam, there's nothing happened between them chemically where one would be contributing any flavor into the other. It's only a discussion when you're learning the halachos of taruvos lach b'lach, although we will see at some point there is a concept of shishim even by a taruvos yavish b'yavish, but that's only midrabanan because of exeri, you might cook it together. But the point is that when you discuss tam ke'ikr, you're obviously discussing a taruvos lach b'lach. So how do you know if something's nice in tam? So you have a taruvos lach b'lach, we know there's a halach of tam ke'ikr. So how do you know if the davar aser is being nice in tam or the davar aser is not being nice in tam? So the Gemara gave a few possibilities. Rava said that there's three ways to do it. Either you can give it to a Jew to taste. If we're dealing with Issa v'Heter that no Jew is allowed to eat, so you can't give it to a Jew. Then you can give it to a non-Jew. You trust the non-Jew. Rashi says, Masich lefi tumay. Taisa says you give it to a master chef, someone who is not going to put his professional license at risk so that you can trust him. Exactly. So you can trust him that he'll be telling the truth. Or finally, a third option is, if there's no way to taste it, it's min b'minay, or you can't find that chef that you're going to trust, so then there's a halach of shishim. So there's a back-of-the-envelope formula that you're allowed to use, and you do is you count the amount of heter in this taruvos, the amount of iser. If there's 60 times heter connected to iser, then you're allowed to eat it. So it's not roiv, but rather it's shishim. Why shishim? Because of the halacha of tam kikr. But one thing we saw in yesterday's daf, and it's going to be a lot more clear on Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph, that the whole concept of shishim is something that evolved during the Tkufa of the Amayram. And it seems that the Tanoim and even some of the earlier Amayram were not aware of this shear of shishim, which would seem to suggest that it's not included in the shiurim that were nemar halacha l'moishim isir, unless it was forgotten. But the point is, as we're going to see throughout the Gemara, that there were different numbers and formulas that the Amayram suggested, and Rashi, the way he's mefarish the sugya, says this is all before shishim. What is before shishim? What shishim is from the shiurim halacha l'moishim isir, right? There's nothing before kezayis. Kezayis is, that's Torah Misinai. So apparently this shishim was something that somehow came about at some later tkufa of the Amayram. Either way, a lot more yesoidus digi gemaras. I mean, every line gemara is a yesoid in the sugyas of Taruvos. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Gid b'shishim, the ein gid min aminyin. So if you have a gid hanosha, which is how we got into the sugya in the first place, and you cooked it now together with other gidin. So the halach is, if there's 60 gidim of heter kineged the gid hanasha, then the entire taruvos is going to be mutter, and you don't have to worry about the gid hanasha. Ve'ein hagid min aminyan. What does that mean? That means you have to have 60 of heter without the gid hanasha. The gid hanasha doesn't count as part of the 60. Meaning, when you talk about bittul b'shishim, does it mean shishim together with the davar aser, or does it mean shishim in addition to the davar aser? Total, you have to have 60, or total, you have to have 61. So this is a Rav Nachman. It's one line of Masechtas Chulin Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. Basics. Gid b'shishim ve'ein agid ben aminyin. You have to have 60 of heter kineged the one of iser. Chal b'shishim, the udder of a cow. If you want to be mevatel it, there has to be shishim kineged it. Uchal min aminyan, you could count the chal. Now, the udder of a cow is where the milk comes from. So if you take the udder of a cow with the milk inside of it and you put it in a pot with other meat, you're running into a bas of a chalav question. Issue. You're not allowed to cook basav v'chalav together. You're not allowed to eat basav v'chalav together. So what happens if you cook the udder that has milk inside of it? So the halacha is you need shishim kineged the milk that's inside the udder, and you can use the udder itself to be mevatel the milk. The reason is because the udder itself is meat. It's a davar mutter. The udder is not the milk. It's the milk inside the udder that we're worried about. Beitza b'shishim. If you have an egg, we'll see what that means in the Gemara. Ein beitza v'nam minyan. There are two. There's halach of shishim, and you don't count that. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak b'reder m'shayisha. Ukhal atzmoy aser. As it relates to an udder, so somebody took an udder, there's milk inside, he cooked it in a pot together with other meat. So the halach is, you need shishim. But even if you have shishim, keneged, the khal, keneged the udder, the khal itself is going to remain aser. The enough alikdeir acheres, if you would take this udder and you would put it now into another pot, oyser would have the ability to make the other pot aser. It's a little bit of a chiddush, because to the extent that you had shishim keneged the udder, meaning you had shishim to be mevatel the milk that's inside of it, so why should it remain aser? Why, if you put it into another pot, should it still be aser? So I am brishayna, but the point is that even if the shishim, the udder remains aser, and if you put the udder into another pot, it has an ability, like a chaticha din avela, to make the rest of the pot aser. So Gemara discusses this a little bit. Amar Rav Ashi, Gavina b'Rav Kahana, when I was by Rav Kahana, I asked him the following question. If somebody sticks an udder of a cow with milk inside of it into a pot, so yeah, you need shishim, right? The Rav Nachman said, shishim and the udder itself counts as part of the shishim. His question was, shishim keneged the entire udder, or shishim keneged the milk that's inside the udder? Meaning at first glance, you would say it's keneged the milk that's inside of the udder. But maybe no. Maybe you need to be mevatel the udder itself. The udder is mutter, the udder is meat. You let it cook the udder with the rest of the meat. The problem with the udder is the milk that's inside the udder. Stating that, he wasn't sure. He said, do you need shishim keneged the milk that's inside the udder? You figure out how much milk is inside and that's what you're mevatel? Or do you have to be mevatel keneged the entire udder? So he told him, shita de b'di dei mesharinon. It's posha, you need to be mevatel the entire udder. Because if you're going to tell me that you need to be mevatel only the milk that's inside of him. How in the world do you know how much milk is? There's no way to know how much milk is inside. I mean that there's no way to know how much milk is inside. You need a mevatel the entire udder. Frank the Gemara, Elamiyat, if that's the case, then I don't understand the next line of the braisa. We said that the udder itself, you need to be, if the shishim can get it, the udder still remains aser, meaning if it falls into another kedera, it has an ability to aser the other kedera. If you're telling me that shishim means shishim keneged the udder, so you already mevatel the udder. So if you mevatel it, how does the udder have an ability to go ahead and aser in another pot? So the Gemara says, it's two separate halachas. The first halacha is we're worried about the milk that's inside the udder. So an udder with milk falls into a pot, so you need shishim to mevatel the milk. You have no idea how much milk is here. So as a result, you need to mevatel the entire kachal. That's the only way to do this. You mevatel the entire udder, stating that the udder remains aser. Why does it remain aser? Because it remains aser. There's a halacha that the udder is viewed as a chaticha din avel. So now if you take the udder, you put it into another pot, it's still going to be a problem. Does shishim work to be mevatel the udder mitzad the milk that was inside the udder? Stating that the udder became a chaticha din avel in and of itself, and as a result, if it falls into a kedera acheres, it's going to have an ability to aser. But there's one very important yisoid. I mean, maybe the shail of udder is not so halacha l'maisa, but there is one very important principle as it relates to taruvos that you have to take out of this gemara. And that is, the gemara said that if you had an udder of a cow with milk inside of it, and now it's in the taruvos, so the halacha is it's not enough to have shishim keneged the milk. You need shishim keneged the entire udder. Why? The problem is not the udder. The problem is the milk. The reason is because you have no idea how much milk is inside the udder. Thus, you don't know how much to be mevatel. You don't know. If you knew, it'd be one thing, but you don't know. It's from here we learn halacha that any time you have a taruvah, a vis of a heter, you always need to be mevatel the entire iser. You're not allowed to start making calculations and saying, one second, I have a chatichas nevel of iser that fell into a pot, so I don't know how much of this chaticha really went into the food of heter, so then how much iser there is that I need to be mevatel. So let me take the piece of non-kosher meat out, and I'll make a cheshbin of how much platis went into this taruvos, and I'll be mevatel that. The halacha is, it doesn't work. The halacha is the ibn mad nafak minay minoyadino. You have to assume that there's no way to know how much actually went into the taruvos. I mean that there's no way to know how much went into the taruvos. You always have to be mevatel the entire taruvos. Another halacha, another technical gemara. Beitza b'shishim, the ein beitza minamin. We said that if an egg, so apparently this is a non-kosher egg, was mixed together with kosher eggs, the halacha is you need shishim the in beitzim and aminyan, the egg itself doesn't count as part of the shishim. So pashut, it sounds like you need shishim of heter, can egg the one egg of iser, 61 in total. Only Rabbi Dibar Abin La Bayis, Rabbi Dibar told Abay, maybe the Yavah time. It sounds like from this halacha that if you boil a bunch of eggs together, the eggs will somehow be nice and tame into the other egg. Is that true? For Amri Inshi, don't people say Kimaya de Baby? People want to say that something is tasteless. So they say this thing tastes like water that eggs were cooked in. Meaning it tastes like water. Because if you boil eggs in water, the egg is not going to give any time into the water. So if the egg doesn't give any time into the water, so what's this whole question in the first place? We're talking about time because we're discussing Shishun. So you're talking about eggs, boiling eggs together. If you boil a bunch of eggs, you boil a kosher egg and a non-kosher egg together in the same pot, l'chayre, there should be no problem, because how is it being nice and tam? And it's interesting, Mara says, how do you know it's not nice and tam? Ask the man on the street. V'amri inchi, ki maya debeya ba'amu. Amalei, says the Gemara, Abaya told Rabbi Dibar Abin, hocha b'maya skina b'beit safrech. We're not talking about a regular egg. We're talking about a fertilized egg. We're talking about an egg that has a chick inside of it. As a result, that type of egg, being that that chick is already it's a chicken. It's a non-kosher chicken. You're not allowed to eat it in a freyach. You need chita, right? You can't eat it. So you can't eat it. So in theory, even though it's kosher, it's a chicken, but it's not kosher, meaning it's not roi l'achila, and there's flesh inside. That's already going to be nice and tam. So a non-fertilized egg won't be nice and tam, but a fertilized egg is different. But the Gemara says, oh, avol tamei aloi, says the Gemara, but enechanami, if it would be a regular non-kosher egg, you're telling me it wouldn't be a problem. Eisvei beitzim tahiros, if somebody has kosher eggs, he's all going to beitzim tamei, and he cooked it together with non-kosher eggs. Im yesh bem nois and tam kulam asuris, if he cooked it, if there's less than 60, it's a problem. So what's the kasha? The kasha is, why does it have to be non-kosher eggs? Look, even if it's kosher eggs, even if it's kosher, the issue is not kosher versus non-kosher. Meaning, what's a non-kosher egg? It came from a non-kosher animal. It doesn't have to come from a non-kosher animal, even if it came from a kosher animal. The issue is that there's an efrech. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami beitzas efrech." It's true. That's what it means. The Braisa means beitzas efrech. If I correlate tmeya, then why did it refer to it as tmeya? Doesn't tmeya usually mean non-kosher? Keeping this efrech correlate tmeya. No, tmeya in the sense that you can't eat it. Not that it's from a non-kosher animal. But the Gemara says it can't be. Because midik tani seifa, that Braisa that discussed cooking beitzim tahoros with beitzim tamayos has a sefer. The sefer says beitzim sheshalkon v'nimtza efrayach ba'achas mehem. You cooked a bunch of eggs together, you boiling eggs together, and then you found out that one of them had an efrayach. Im yesh b'manoisim tam kulam asuris. If the beit that has an efrayach is noisim tam, then they all become asur. Now it's two cases in the braisa. There's a resha and a sefer. The resha discusses you cooked kosher eggs with beitzim tamayos. The second one discusses you cooked kosher eggs with eggs that had an efrayach. Now, if it's a reisha and a sefer, they're talking about two different things. I'm not sure what the reisha is talking about, but I know what the sefer is talking about. It's very straightforward. It's talking about an eggs that have a little chick inside. Clearly, the reisha is not talking about a beitzah that has an efrayach. What then does it mean when it says beitzah tameya? It means a non-kosher egg. And still, there's a discussion of nice and tam. So you see clearly from the reisha, the braisa, that there's an idea of tam and shishim, and even when you're dealing with eggs. Says the Gemara, Michal the Reish blessed by Efrayach Haskin, right? Don't you see from the Sefer that the Reish is talking about where there was no Efrayach? Gemara says, no, it's not two cases. It sounds like it's two cases. Perusha Kama Farish. You have to say that the Sefer of the Braisa is a Pirish. It's a commentary on the Reish of the Braisa. The Gemara does this sometimes. The Reish was Beitzim Tahirish Shalkin, Beitzim Tmeyos, Yeshma Benoisim Tam, Kulmasurois. Ketzad, what does Tmeyos mean? Usually Tmeyos means eggs from a non-kosher animal. That's not what it means here. In this case, tmeyos means efroyach. Hachi nami mistabli. Gemara says it's actually mashma that way. Because these all gotaitach reisha less beefroyach. Because if you get to tell me the reisha and the sefer talking about two different things, and the reisha is talking about a non-kosher egg, the sefer is talking about efroyach. Hashad the less beefroyach asuro. Then the Gemara's kash says, once I know the reisha, I shouldn't even need the sefer. This beefroyach mi bayo. What's the bigger chiddush? It's a bigger chiddush that an egg from a non-kosher animal, even though it's not a fertilized egg, it doesn't have an efrayach, could be nice and tam, then it is an egg that has an efrayach should be nice and tam. So once the reisha, assuming the reisha is discussing a regular non-kosher egg, not a fertilized egg, a regular non-kosher egg, and the halacha is that it's nice and tam, then I shouldn't need the sefer. So from the fact that we mentioned the sefer after the reisha, that's a right, it's not two cases. Because if it's two cases, I would know the second case from the first case. Elamai must be one long case where the sefer is being mefarish the reisha. But the Gemara says, no, imishomola yiriyah. Could be really it's two cases. Ah, you'll ask me, why do I need a sefer of a freyach Once I know the resha of Beitzim Tmeis, Tana Sefer Lagluy Resha. I need a Sefer to tell me what Pshana the resha. Shaloi Toimar, because had I only had the resha, you would have thought resha this be'afreich. You would have made the mistake and thought that the resha is telling me the more obvious halacha. This be'afreich. Avol less be'afreich, Shai. But if there's no afreich, maybe it'd be Mutta Tana Sefer this be'afreich. So therefore the Sefer made it clear. No, the Sefer is this be'afreich. Chal the resha is less be'afreich. Vaisis the resha is less be'afreich. Filachi Astir and still it's going to be us. The point is there's no raya from the Braisa whether Beitzim Tmeis that are cooked together with Beitzim Tahoiras could be nois and tam or can't be nois and tam. There's no hachinami mestabra, but there's also no ace of it. You can't ask kashas from here, you can't bring rayas from here. There's two ways to learn the braisa. I mean that there's two ways to learn the braisa. The way we come back is to what Abaye said in Svara, and that is that when there was a discussion amongst the Amiraim and Tanoim, whether if you cook kosher eggs with non-kosher eggs together in the same pot, that there should be a halacha of tam ke ikar and nois and tam of shishim, it's all where the egg had an afroyach inside of it. So this wasn't a regular egg, the type of eggs that you'd make scrambled eggs from. Those eggs, kosher, non-kosher, you put them all together, there's no halacha of shishim. Where there's a halacha of shishim is where the egg had in it a chicken, such an egg, being that there's basar inside the egg that can somehow seep through the shell, that would already be nois and tam into the taruvos. There would be a halacha of shishim, but enochinami, if it was a regular non-kosher egg, that's the maskana sagamara. This, in and of itself, would not be an issue. Zok to Gemara, hu kezesa tarba denafal bidikula de bisra. There was a maisa shahaya, kachaya. There was a kezayas of tarba, that of fat, that fell into a pot of meat. So this is a problem. So Rav Asi, lishi ure, b'may de boli kedura. So Rav Ashi, not Rav Asi, was sat down, and he wanted to do the arithmetic to make sure that the shishim. So he started counting how much kosher meat there was, and then he counted the roitiv and the kippah, like we had at the end of yesterday's daf. So he started taking all the heter in this pot into calculation, but then he added one thing. What he did was, he also tried figuring out how much heter was absorbed in the walls of the pot, because he felt that any food that's inside the walls of the pot would be mitzarif to the heter to be mevatel this kezayis of fat. I'm really Rabbanu le Rav Ashi. So Rabbanu told Rav Ashi, how could you do that? Atu de hetera bala the yisrul bala. You see, there's a little base there. This svara is lahalacha. He says, how could you do something like that? How do you know whether the pot absorbed heter or iser, or more heter, or more iser? There's no way to take the pot into calculation. Meaning, really what you need to assume is that the pot probably absorbed proportionate to whatever's inside the pot. So if the pot was 70% heter and 30% iser, then the pot itself probably absorbed 70% heter and 30% iser. The point is you can't assume it absorbed more heter than iser so that you could somehow tip the scales as far as the ratio of iser to heter goes to walk away with your shishim. So Rav Ashi was being mitztarif madabalak dera to the heter side of the balance sheet because he thought that by doing that you'd be able to somehow walk away with a shishim. So Rabbanu told Rav Ashi, it doesn't make any sense. Either way, there was not a zayas of fat, but rather there was a chatzi zayas of chelev that fell into a pot of meat. It's of a marba Rav Ashi. This is not Rav Ashi, this is marba Rav Ashi. There's two differences, right? Number one, it's not a zayas, it's a half a zayas. Number two, it's not Rav Ashi. It's Rav Ashi's son. It's Marba Rav Ashi. So he was doing the math, and what was the math that he did? 30 half a zaysim. So it was a half a zayis, and he was cheshbening 30 half a zaysim. Now, had he cheshbened 30 zaysim, it would have been good, because 30 zaysim is 60 times a half a zayis. But he was cheshbening 30 half a zaysim. So his father told him, Rav Ashi, his father was the god of Ladar. Lava minu lecha. Sounds like this isn't the first time they had this conversation, right? He said, didn't I tell you, like, tzalzel b'shiure d'rabbanon, that you shouldn't be mezalzel when it comes to shiure d'rabbanon? Meaning, Marb Rav Ashi seems to have been doing the math and looking for a 30 to 1 ratio. And Rav Ashi understood that. What do you mean, 30? It's 60. Everybody knows it's 60. So probably the reason he came up with 30 is because this is only the Rabbanan. Because it's not a full kezayis. It's a chatzi zayis. So I mean that it's a chatzi zayis, chatzi shir. Oh, chatzi shir is only awesome with the Rabbanan. We'll see. That'll be the second question. Oh, it's a chatzi shir, awesome with the Rabbanan. He's being mezalzel under the Rabbanan. So he said, the Rabbanans are just like deraisas. And if deraisa, you want to be mevatel, you need shishim. When it comes to the Rabbanan, you want to be mevatel, you need shishim as well. So how are you doing it with 30? V'oidi told him, I'm Rabbi Yechon said, chatzi shir, awesome. It's not even the Rabbanan, it's a Deiraisa. So Rav Ashi told my Rashi two mistakes. No,
Number one, you're assuming it's a Derabbanan, thus Shloshim, Loitazal, but Derabbanan. Derabbanans work with Shishim just like Deiraisis work with Shishim. And number two, it's not even a Derabbanan. Why would you assume it's a Derabbanan? Because it's a Chatzi Shir. We pass it like Rabbi Yochanan. Chatzi Shir Asim and Atar. Machlik is Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan holds Chatzi Shir Asim and Atar. Rish Lakish holds Chatzi Shir Asim and Derabbanan. But being that the Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan, that Chatzi Shir Asim and Atar. If Chatzi Shir Asim and Atar, what's Shiurim? Shiurim is with regards to Einshin. Meaning if somebody eats a half a Zayas of Nevela, it's a problem. He just doesn't get Malkus. Malkus, all the Shiurei HaTorah were said with regards to Einshin, but as it relates to the actual Isser, Chatzi Shir, Asim and Atar. Amar Rav Shemen Bar Abba, Amar Rav Idi Bar Idi. Bar Gershom, Amar Levi Bar Parta, Amar Rav Nachem, Amar Rav Biryam, Mishum Zaken Echad. All in the name of Zaken Echad. Who was that Zaken Echad? Full suspense. What did they say? Beitza b'samach asura b'samach va'achas muteris. An egg that gets mixed up with 60 is aser. With 61 is mut. Amr Rav Zeirul Rav Shem Bar Abba reisha atamatoba gvul heter. It sounds like you're saying a very big kula. Why? The Gemara explains. Because there were two gedali adar that said a similar halacha, but it was not clear what they held. Rav Yaakov Bar Yidi, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. They were the two Gedali Adar. What did they say? Rav Yishuv and Levi Amri, they both said the name of Yishuv and Levi. Beitza besamach asura, besamach va'alef muteris. An egg in 60 is aser, in 61 is muter. And it's a little ambiguous, right? V'ibayiluhu. And the Amiram weren't sure what they said. Besamach va'achas behadidida, oidum lebarmino. When we say that an egg is only muter with 61, it means 61, it's one of the 61. Or do you need 61 without it? For like Pasha, and we couldn't resolve this question. Umar, Pasha Le Mifshad. And from you, it sounds like, from the fact that you're not explaining that you need 61 without the egg that's Aser, that a person will for sure walk away thinking that as long as the 61 with the egg of Aser, that in and of itself is going to be enough, which is a big kula, because that's only one sad in the way the Chachamim understood what the Shnei Gedali Adar said. It's the Tzad HaKula, because there was the Tzad HaChumra, which was that you need 61 in addition to the egg. In other words, what's coming out from this Gemara is very interesting. Ordinarily, whenever you talk about Shishim, so Rav Nachman explained right as the first line, the first words of the Daf, in the beginning of the Daf, that you need 60 of Heter Keneged Iser. So if you have a Taruvah, a Visavah Heter, you take the Taruvahs, you divide it into 61 groups. The point is, it's 61 in total. It's just made up of 60 of Heter and one of Isser. If you have that, you could be Mavatal. 60 Heter connected one of Isser, 61 in total. Here the Gemara is clearing that sad that when it comes to an egg, you need 62 in total. You need 61 of Heter and one of Isser. It was a little bit unclear. I mean, the Gemara is not sure, but there were two Gedali Adar that said something that seemed to suggest that. V'boyalu, and there was a follow-up question. V'loy poshet, and no one knew the answer. So at the very least, there was a possibility that when it comes to an egg, that you would need 61. And thus, the Gemara is saying that it was a big chiddush, that Rav Shemin Bar Abban, Rav Idi Bar Idi, Bar Gershon, Bar Rav Levi, Bar Parton, Rav Nochem, Bar Biri, right, Mishum Zaken, that they all made it sound like it's poshet, right? Because no, all you need is 60, connected one. Well, it's not so sure, not so poshet. It's true for Gidanosha, it's 60, for Chatichas Nevela, Issa, Heta, Truma, whatever. But Truma's 100. But you know, there's a halacha of 60 of Heta connected one of Issa, but egg might be different. Why would an egg be different? So what's the Svara? The Svara is because eggs are not all the same size. You have a large egg, an extra large egg, right? They come in different sizes. As a result, if you can have 60 Keneged, the one of Isser, we're concerned that maybe the one of Isser is an extra large egg. And one of the 60 are going to be just the large eggs, not the extra large eggs. So what we do is we add another egg just to make sure that we have a full 60. That's the idea. That's the tzad, and that is the bottom line. Next Gemara, Itmar, Amar, Rav Chelbim, Rav Huna, Beitza, Besamach, Vihi, Asura. So if you have an egg where you have 60 plus it, meaning 60 of Heter, connected one of Isser, which is usually the sheer bittel, it's still a problem, Besamach, Be'alach, Vihi. But if you have 61 plus him, Muteris, then it's going to be Muter. Zok, the Gemara. Who does look at me, the Rabbi, completely by Rabbi. So we mentioned earlier that the number Shishim evolved. It wasn't always that way. A few stories that are going to demonstrate that. So there was somebody that came in front of Rabbi Gula by Rabbi. Amalei told him, Abaloi Shir Barbon Vesheva, Vani Asha Barbon Vechamish, Siyata Taruvis Avis of Heter. They did the math, and there was 45 of Heter, Keneged the one of Isser. And so Rabbi Gamliel told Rabbi, my father, I remember, didn't want to be Mater with 47 to 1.
You expect me to be matter 45 to 1? What do you mean? Isn't it 60 to 1? So it seems like not at that time. Who does the coming to Rabbi Shimon by Rebbe? Somebody came natural to Gamliel by Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon by Rebbe. Rebbe had a son, Gamliel, had a son, Rebbe, at the end of Masechtas Ksubas fame. Amalesi told him, Abba Leishir b'mem heis. Here he told him, my father didn't want to, Vaniyah Shar b'mem gimel. Who does the coming to Rabbi Chia? Amalei klum yeh shleishim. Rabbi Chia said, do you have 30? So the Gemara says, whoa, time of the Lekish Shleishim, Lekish Shleishim, Mishayim, no one ever heard 30. This is Amar Rav Chanina Guzma. You're right, he meant to say, you don't even have 30, so why are you asking me the Shail? Amar Rav Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rav Shua Ben Levi, Mishum Mar Kapar. Kol Yisurim Shebet Torah B'samach. Every time you have a Taruv, it's a Vizav Ahad, there's a Loch HaShishim. This next Gemara, by the way, is a classic. Amar the fun of Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak. So Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak told him, Rebbe, Ata Oimer Kain, is this what you heard from Rav Shua Ben Levi? So again, Rav Chia Bar Abba heard the name of Rav Shua Ben Levi, who said over the name of Bar Kapara, that anytime you have a taruv, it's a vis of a heter, what's the magic number? If you can't taste it, there's no master chef, so what do? Shishim. So Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak told, Rebchi Bar Rabba, Rebbe, that's what you heard, I heard differently. I heard that Rav Asi said, Rav Shmuel Belevi, Mishum Bar Kapara, that kol Yisurim Shavit Torah B'meya, that every time you have a taruv, it's a vis of a heter, it's always 100, Vishneyam Leilam Duel, Mizraya B'Sheilo, Zakti Gemara, they both had the same makar. They both learned it, meaning, apparently there were two versions of what Rabbi Shmuel Ben Levi said in the name of Bar Kapara. Is it Shishim every time you have a Taruvah Zavis of a Heter? Or is it Meya every time you have a Taruvah Zavis of a Heter? And it's learned from a Pasuk in Parshas Nosai. It's a Kachim Pasuk. It's tucked away. It's in the Halachas of the Nazir. The Torah says that after the Nazir completes his Nazirus, he had to bring three Karbanos. He brought an Oila, a Shlomim, and a Chatas. His Shlomim, the Shlomim that the Nazir brought, was given to the Bailam, meaning the Nazir got to eat the meat of the Shlomim, which is the way it is with almost all Shlomims, because it's Kachem Kalim, but at the same time, there was one part of the Karban Shlomim that had to be given to the Kayan, that the Bailam, no Zar, was allowed to eat. It's viewed as Kachi Kadashim, that's also the Zar. There was one part that had to be given to the Kayan, and that was the Zraya. The Zraya, that's as of the Seder plate fame. So the Zraya was given to the Kayan. They would do Tanufa with the Zraya, and afterwards they would give it to the Kayan. But before they did that, they cooked the Zraya. And the Zraya was cooked together with the rest of the animal. The Pasuk says, V'lokach ha-Kayan es ha-Zraya b'sheila min ayil. We'll see now, machlekes, what exactly b'sheila means. But really, the Pashup Shana b'sheila, and even though there's machlekes, everybody agrees that ein mikri yoytze midei pshutai, that b'sheila is miloshim bishol. So the Zraya was cooked together with the rest of the ayil, and the Kayan ended up taking it. So they would cook the ayil together with the Zraya. The Zraya would end up going to the Kohen, as the Pasuk says, V'lokach ha-Kohen es ha-Zrayel b'sheila, and then he took the Chalom Matzis Achas Menasal, and all the different Matzis, and they did the Tanufa of Masechtas Menachos fame. But regardless, says the Gemara, that before the Kohen got the Zraya, it's a Pasuk in the Torah, was cooked together with the rest of the ayil. Says the Gemara B'Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Ein b'sheila el shleima. Braisa, what does b'sheila mean? It means it was whole. The Zraya had to be whole. It means it had to be cooked. Says the word. Everybody agrees it had to be cooked. Because b'sheila for sure also means cooked. And everybody agrees that it had to be cooked together with the ayil, meaning together. The Tanakhama said that first they would cut it, meaning they would separate the Zraya from the rest of the ayil, and then they would cook it. It was cooked in the same pot. But first they would separate, and then afterwards they would cook it. And Reb Shimon Yochai, who's the second sheet to hold, first they would cook it, and afterwards they would cut it. Where do you see this in the Machlokes? So it's a little bit unclear. The Tanakhama says, Ein b'sheila ela shleima. It seems to suggest that you just have to make sure the Zraya is intact. You don't have to make sure the ayil is intact. You have to make sure the Zraya is intact, which seems to suggest that they remove the Zraya from the rest of the aisle, make sure the Zraya is whole, but cook it all together. Rav Shimon Yochai says, B'sheila doesn't mean Shlema, and all it means is Bishol. There's an Eim Mikra Yoytze Midei Pshutai, and that's all it means. I mean that's all it means. So, Fakart, you could be, you had to cook it all in one shot. The Ibai is saying, alternatively, what the machlik is of Eim B'sheila Ela Shlema is, or Eim B'sheila Ela Shana Spashim L'Nayil, the Kuliyama Mechatach Vadim of Ashala, everybody agrees that first they would cut it, then they would cook it. Miu Mar Sovar, Shimon holds, Vahadi Ayol Mevashala, they would cook it together with the Ayol, Incidentally, in the first Lishna of the Gemara, the first Mar Sovar is the Tanakama. In the second Lishna of the Gemara, the Yubai Seim, it's a little confusing. The first Mar Sovar is Rav Shimon. So Mar Sovar Bahada Ayam Vashla, they would cook it together with the Ayam. Mar Sovar Bikdeir Acheres Bavashla, they would cook it in two different pots. Bottom line says the Gemara, this, we just need a punchline. Lishna Kama, according to the first Lashon, both the Tanakama and Rav Shimon in this price hold that the Zroya was cooked together with the rest of the Ayam. If that's the case, Aliba the Divya, you see, according to everybody, this idea that they were cooked together. Who cares? Oh, we'll see in a second. Lilishna Basra, according to the second understanding of what the Machloikis is, at least according to one of the Tanam, Rav Shimon Yochai holds, that they would cook the Zeraya together with the Ayil. What's the problem? That's a very big problem. The Zeraya is also Lazar. Only the Kohen's allowed to eat the Zeraya. So here's the question. You're going to cook the Zeraya together with the Ayil. From the Baal, from the Nazir's perspective, there's a taruvah of a heter. He's allowed to eat all the flesh of this ayah. A lot of food. He's allowed to eat all of the meat, with the exception of the Zraya. The Zraya, only the Kohen's allowed to eat. So then the question is, then how could you cook it together? And how could you eat the ayah now? You have Issev Heter. It's like you have a taruvah of chulin and truma. You have a taruvah of Issev Heter. The Isser is the Zraya, which is asul lazar, only the Kohen's allowed to eat the Zraya. The heter is the rest of the ayah. And still it's okay. Must be, because there's a bittul. Oh, so if you see now in the Torah, here we have biblical precedents for the concept of a bittul. Now, we have no idea figuring out what the sheer bittul is, but zok, the Gemara, half of a vowel. This is such an important Gemara, that if you have a pasuk in the Torah that already seems to be telling me a little bit about bittul, so let's figure out what the ratio, what was the proportion in the Gemara's case of bittul, and that's going to be a binyan av. We can cut and paste and apply this formula across the entirety of Torah and say that if it conforms to this formula, it's going to be okay. If not, it's not going to be okay. Zok, digamar. Mandama b'shishim. The mandama that heard from Yishuv and Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, that the shir is shishim, which is of course the halacha, sovar basa v'atzamois, bader basar v'atzamois, that the way we calculate the Zraya v'sheila is we take the Zraya, the basar of the Zraya, and that tzamis of the Zraya, and now we match it up to the basar and that tzamis of the rest of the animal, the havalei b'shishim. And if you do that math, the Zraya is going to represent approximately, I don't know if it's approximately, it's going to represent 1/60th of everything else. Thus, you're going to see 60 of heter keneged the one of isa. Mandama b'meya, the mandama that says meya, sovar, he holds basar v'adi basar masharinan. The Zraya, it's the basar that's also, it's not that tzamis. So why are you counting the tzamis? So you take the basar of the Zraya and you match it up to the basar of the rest of the animal. Apparently the Zeraya had a disproportionate amount of atzamos versus basar. So if you count the basar and the atzamos of the Zeraya versus the basar and the atzamos of the rest of the animal, the Zeraya represents 1/60th. But if you only count the basar of the Zeraya versus all the other basar, then the number is going to end up being 100. And that's how you come on with it. But the Gemara says, could you learn anything from Zeraya B'Sheila? Says, we're learning everything from Zeraya B'Sheila. And the Gemara's cash is, you can't even learn anything. Why? Tanya, we learned in a Brisa, that the Zeraya B'Sheila, the Brisa said, is a heter above Michal Isser. Really, what's going on in the Zeraya B'Sheila should be Osir. Stating that, the Zeraya B'Sheila is a chiddush. Zehu l'mutemai. I mean, zehu. This is heter. That's b'michal iser. It sounds like there's something in the Zeraya B'Sheila that's unique. It's a chiddush, and really, the Zeraya B'Sheila did not conform with the rules and regulations of Kol HaTorah Kula. So, how are we learning from the Zeraya B'Sheila? Just the opposite. The Braisa said zehu hiter b'michal iser zehu l'mutei. It's coming to be mayit that really you usually can't work with what you see by the Zeraya B'Sheila. How are you learning shishim or mayit from the Zeraya B'Sheila? Zeraya B'Sheila is a chiddush. That's what the Braisa says. The says, my love, the Buddha called Yisrael Shabbatayra, I'm Rabbi Eloi, Nitzchel, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that price means one thing. It means Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yehuda? A very important Rabbi Yehuda in the sugya is a bit. Amar who holds Mimbamina, Loi Batal. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that if you have a taruv of Issevahet and the Issevahet are the same exact men, they're both the same thing. So you have vegetables that are truma and that are chulin, and they were Nasarif. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is, being that it's the same, if it's the same min b'minoi loy batal. If you have kosher meat and non-kosher meat, and then nisarev, the same meat, min b'minoi loy batal. So Rabbi Yehuda is min b'minoi loy batal. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Zeraya B'Sheila is a very big kiddush. Because Zeraya B'Sheila, you could have 60, you could have 100, you could have 1,000. It's min b'minoi. It's the same aisle. So if it's mimimina, it should be loy batal. Kamash malon, the hacha batal. That's what that price means. But not zeu the ma'ute, the proportion of shishin memeya. No, shishin memeya we learn from the Zorah B'Sheila. The Zel, what's unique about the Zorah B'Sheila is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds Minu Lai Batal, here there's a Batal. The Gemara says, Gomer Mine. So why didn't Rabbi Yehuda Taka learn from the Zorah B'Sheila? If you see in a pasuk in the Torah, that Mimim Minu is Batal, so why not learn from there? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Goli Rechmanah, because he had a different pasuk. He says, this is, of course, Rabbi Yehuda's Makar and Shas, that Mimim Minu Lai Batal. The context over there is Parshas Achrim Mois, it's the Avodah Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol is doing Avodah, Lefnai V'Lefnim, by the Paroiches, and he's taking the blood of the Sa'ir Hanasa Bifnim, the Sa'ir Lashem, and of the par that he brought, and at some point he's going to mix the Dam of the par and the Dam of the Sa'ir, and he's going to do Hazois from the two together. And the Pasuk, when it describes the Kohen Gadol taking that mixture, that taruvos of Dam HaPar and Dam HaSa'ir, it says, V'lokach mi Dam HaPar mi Dam HaSa'ir. And the Gemara throughout Shas says, which animal has more dam? The par, the big bull, or the sire, the measly goat? Of course it's the bull. And if that's the case, why are we even referring to a dam asire? Shouldn't the dam asire be bottled to the dam apar? Zok Rabbi Yehuda. True. From here I see that being that the dam apar and the dam asire are both dam, it's mimbe minoi and mimbe minoi bottle. So at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda said, sure, you can learn from Zrei B'Sheila, mimbe minoi is bottle. But I learned from Velochach Minam Apar, Minam Asar, that mimbe minoi is loy bottle. Freik de Gemara. If that's the case, my chazis, the gamrina miheich, the gamrina mihai. So how do you know to learn from Velochach Minam Apar, Minam Asar, that mimbe minoi is loy bottle? Maybe learn from the Zrei B'Sheila, that mimbe minoi is bottle, says the Gemara, chidishu umichidish loy gamrinon. Because Zrei B'Sheila is a chidish. And being that it's a chidish, you can't learn from a parsha that's a chiddush. Why is Zorah B'Sheila a chiddush? What's so mechudash about Zorah B'Sheila? Says Rashi, and Rashi invokes a halacha that's very, very important that Be'ezus Hashem will speak a lot about over the next few days, and that is because there's a rule that even though you can rely on bittul, but ein mevatlin issa l'katchila. So that it's true. If you have a little bit of milk that falls into your pot of meat, or if you take a piece, if there's non-kosher meat that gets mixed up with your there's a halacha bittul. But although there's a halacha bittul, but l'katchila, you're not allowed to go ahead and be mevatl. Ein mevatlin issa l'katchila. So that being that ein mevatlin issa l'katchila, this raya b'sheila, we're violating that principle. Aren't we violating the rule of ein mevatlin issa l'katchila? We're taking the Zraya, we're cooking it together with the ayil. Why are you allowed to do that? Oh, so it's a chiddush. Once it's a chiddush, you can't learn anything from a parasha of a chiddush. So to learn from Velochach Minam Adam Yisar, yeah. But to learn from Zrei B'Sheila, then not. But the Gemara says, the Manavshach, if you tell me you can't learn from Zrei B'Sheila, because the chiddush, umi chiddush loy gamrinon, lemei v'samach nami loy gamrinon. So how are you allowed to learn the aloch of shishim the aloch of meya? So the Gemara says, otu anan l'kula gamrinon, l'chumra gamrinon. No, chiddush l'kula, that you can't learn. But l'chumra you can learn. Meaning to tell me a kula that mimdamina is bottle, that Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm not going to learn from the Zorah B'Sheila, because I'm not learning any kula from a parasha mechudeshes. So I know from Velocha Midam Apar Midam Asar Mimimina Loi Bottle. I'm not going to say, but the parasha of Zorah B'Sheila teaches me a kula. But a chumra it could teach me. What's the chumra? The chumra is that what would have been without Zorah B'Sheila, you would have thought Midei Raisa Beruba Bottle. You would have thought it should be Bottle Barayf. Kamash Malan Zorah B'Sheila, that teaches me that it's not Bottle Barayf, but Tam Ke'ikr, and as a result, you need shishim or meyah. So to learn a kula from Zorah B'Sheila, that you can't, but to learn a chumra, you can't. Why can't you learn a kula from Zorah B'Sheila? Because the parish of Zorah B'Sheila is a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Because ordinarily, ein mevatlin issa l'katchila. And over here, you could be mevatl issa l'katchila exel. So just a few important ha'aras as it relates to understanding the halachos of taruvos, the halachos that we're learning. Number one, just to point something out, stating the obvious, but this is important. Just so that we all don't get confused. And that is, we just mentioned Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rabbi Yehuda holds Mimbe Minoi Loi Batal. In other words, a Taruvah's Mimbe Minoi is a lot more chamor than a Taruvah's of Mimbe She'enoi Minoi. Taruvah's of Mimbe She'enoi Minoi is Batal. A Taruvah's of Mimbe Minoi is not Batal. Now this is the exact opposite of what we spoke about in the Hakdama to yesterday's daf. We spoke yesterday's Machlokes Rishonim, and it's the Rashi is literally, it's the bottom Rashi on this Amid, it's really going to be the beginning of tomorrow's daf, where Rashi Shita is that Tam Ke'ik is the Rabban. Rabbeinu Tam Shita is Tam Ke'ik is the Raisa. But at the same time, says Rabbeinu Tam, it depends. If the Taruvah says Min B'She'enoi Minoi, then Tam Ke'ik is the Raisa. If the Taruvah is going to be Min B'Minoi, then Tam Ke'ik is going to be the Rabban. In other words, a Taruvah of Min B'Minoi is more kuladig than a Taruvah of Min B'She'enoi Minoi. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, which is the halacha in Yerideya Simen Tzadik Ches, if you have a taruvis min b'minay versus a taruvis min b'shenei minay, which is more chamer? The taruvis min b'shenei minay is more chamer. A taruvis min b'shenei minay is a taruvis deraisa. There, if you don't have shishim, the taruvis is aser midairaisa. If it's nishbach and you have no way now of figuring out how much was there, you throw it all in the garbage. It's all aser because it's a safik dairaisa lechumra. If it's a taruvis min b'minay, then it's only aser midrabanan. Meaning taruvis min b'she'ena minay is mochamer. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is just the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that if you have a taruvis min b'she'ena minay, at the very least, the shishim. Taruvis min b'minay is loy batal. So how do you reconcile those two ideas? You don't. But what you just accept is that it's, although at first glance it seems to be contradictory, but Rabbi Yehuda l'chud and the Chachamim l'chud. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda's shita is min b'minay loy batal. And in Rabbi Yehuda's world, a taruvis of min b'minay is more chomer than a taruvis of min b'sheni minay. The good news is we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So mean that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like the Chachamim. That a min b'minay is batal. Not only is the halacha like the Chachamim, that min b'minay is batal, but according to the Chachamim, min b'minay is actually more cool than a min b'she'ena minay. So sometimes you learn a Gemara and you're going to see min b'minay, whoa, that's loy batal. And sometimes you're going to learn a Gemara, min b'minay, oh, that's suffik d'rabbanan l'kula. They're both true. In Rabbi Yehuda's world, a min b'minay is more chamer. And Anachanami, that is Rabbi Yehuda's shita, min b'minay loy batal. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like the Chachamim. In the Chachamim's world, not only is min b'minay batal, but min b'minay is actually more kuladig than min b'she'enoy minay. What's pshat in Rabbi Yehuda that holds min b'minay like batal? So for that, there's a famous ran in Masechta Sedarim, Daf Mem Beis, probably the longest ran, one of the longest runs in Masechta Sedarim. The Inka Mekayim, we're going to have to say that for another day. That's the first ara. The second ara is, we mentioned that taruvos of lach belach, there's a halacha of tam ke'ikar. It's a very interesting chiddush from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is in Yerideya Simen Chav Dalet, and the Chazon Ish says that the only time you say that a taruva is lach belach, min b'she'enoy minoy, according to Rabbeinu Tam, which is the halacha, tam ke'ikar de'raisa, that's only if the things were cooked together. They weren't just nasarif, but there was some heat. But let's say you would take yayin of truma and you would mix it together with wine that's chulin. So you have a taruvas lach balach. They're mixed together. I mean, you'd think that's the textbook example of taruvas lach balach. You took something liquid kosher, something liquid non-kosher, and you mixed it all together. You have a taruvas lach balach. The Chazon Ish says that there's no tam ke'ikar de'raisa over there. He says that that's not Chazal's understanding of taruvas lach balach. He says, why? Because the definition of lach balach doesn't mean that they're mixed together. It means that there's some chemical reaction where the two are fused together on some level. And that's something that happens with heat. That's something that happens with Bishul, or with Sli, or with Tigun, Meliach Areo Kereseach, Kavosh Areo Kemavoshul. For that, you need one of those mediums in order to create that and in order to have your Tam Ke'ikar De'raisa. If, however, you just have two Dvarim Lachin that are both Tzoynein, they're both cold, and they were punked mixed together, the Chazon Ish says that's just Beliva. They're just bubbled together. They're just mixed together. They're living together side by side. But unless there's some element of heat, in that case, you're not going to have a halacha of a taruvos min b'minay. You're not going to have the halacha of tam ke'ikar de'raisa. The Gemara mentioned the idea of ein mevatlin issa l'katchila. Now, the Gemara said that Rabbi Yehuda says that the parsha of Zroi B'Shelo is a chiddush, and that's why, even though in the parsha of Zroi B'Shelo you would seem to see a taruva is min b'minay that's batal, you can't learn from there. You can't learn from there that min b'minay is batal. Why not? Because the whole parsha of Zroi B'Shelo is a very big chiddush. The reason it's a chiddush is because it's violating the principle of Eim Avatla Nisal Katchila. Right? Isn't there a halacha of Eim Avatla Nisal Katchila? So you're allowed to rely on Bittul Baroiv, but you can't go ahead and create a Bittul Baroiv. If it happened, it happened. But to go ahead and create it, that's not something you're allowed to do. And still, that's what we do by the Zrei B'Shelo. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda, Zrei B'Shelo is a Chiddush, and once it's a Chiddush, I'm not learning anything from Zrei B'Shelo. It says, the Ravid, in two of his Sfarim, and this is quoted by the Shach, and this is one of the more important Shitas, Harishainim, in the Sugis of Taruvos, very important. And that is, that you see from this Gemara, that Eim Mevatel, Issa L'Katchila is an Issa D'Raisa. Because if Eim Avat and Nisal Katchila would be merely an Issa D'Rabbanan, then why is Zroi B'Shelo Chiddush? It's true, Eva Vatel Nisla Katkhila, but that's only on the rabbinic level. There's no such halacha on the Dairaisa level. From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said that the parish of Zerubbabel Shalom is a Chiddush, Zaysay Meris, on the Dairaisa level, there's something called Eva Vatel Nisla Katkhila, stating that you have this parish in Parashas Nasi. Right? There's certain parishes, HaTorah, where the mitzvah Sebekacha, the parasha, violates ostensibly halacha in the Torah. Yibum is a zivu gavanei zach. That's not something that you're really allowed to do. So this is such a parasha, says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're violating a principle in the Torah. Which principle? Eim avatlin is l'chatchila. So derived. Oh, you see clearly, eim avatlin is l'chatchila. So this is derived. Because if eim avatlin is l'chatchila, this is derabban, you're not violating anything. As far as derived. The problem is all the rishonim cannot argue with derived. It is a shaila what Rashi holds, what Tosfos results. There's a shaila in everything in these sugyas. But the point is that the pashtus is that most Rishonim argue with the Ravid and hold that Ein Mevatel Isla Chatchila is only innocent Rabbanim. So how did they learn the sugya? So Ayin Sham, Ayin Barishan, Rishonim discuss it. The bottom line is a machlokes whether Ein Mevatel Isla Chatchila is an Issa Raisa Issa Rabbanim. The Ravid Shita, as quoted, is Ein Mevatel Isla Chatchila is an Issa Raisa. According to Rav Rishonim, Ein Mevatel Isla Chatchila is only in Isser Dirabana. Chassam Sofer in a tshuva, in Yerudea, Simin Shin Yotes, brings a bomba kasha from the Shara Melech. And the kasha is on the Gemara in Masechta Schulen, at the very end of the Masechta, Perek Shiluach HaKan, Daf Kuf Mem Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing a posik with regards to the Metzora. It says, V'tziva HaKoyin, V'lokach Lamitar Shnei Tziporim, Chayois Tehoiris. So part of the esoteric Tehoira process of the Metzora involved two Tziporim. So the Pasuk says that those two Tziporim had to be Chayois Tehoiris, V'etz Erev Shnei Tzalas V'esam. The Gemara is Shtelzach, what does Tehoiris mean? What does it mean Tehoiris? So it says the Gemara, you know what Tehoiris means? That it can't be from an Irani Dachas. That's what the Gemara says. It can't be a tzipor. If you had a tzipor that was part of an Irani Dachas, it disqualifies from being able to be used as one of the tzipor. Afraid the Gemara, I need a pasuk for that? I don't understand. What do you do with the two tzipor? One of them they shechted. They took the dam. The other one they sent away. Ivle shiluach. If you need a pasuk to tell me that the tzipor that's going to be sent away, that's the tzipor that you're not allowed to use for a tzipor of an Irani Dachas. Who would ever have a mina? I need a pasuk to tell me you can't? Think about it. What's the alternative? I'm going to use a tzipor of an Irani Dachas. You're going to use it, and then you're going to let it fly away. What's going to happen? Some hunter is going to find it. He's going to take it, and he's going to end up eating it. Say, this takala, you're being machshel somebody. There's no way the Torah would tell you to do something that's going to involve takala. Freak the Shara Melech. What's the takala? There's one tzipa that's floating around that's from an Irani Dachas. It's batul b'roif. Taruvis yavesh b'yavesh. But it's for sure going to be batul. I mean that it's going to be batul. There should be no problem over here. Of Rav. Says the Shara Melech. Maybe you'll tell me that the problem is, it's true there's something called bitul b'roif. But ein mevatel in isser l'katchila. You're not let it go ahead l'katchila and be mevatel isser. So by us taking this tzipa of Irani Dachas and allowing it to drezach in the veld now, What we're doing is we're being mevatel the iser likatchila and setting up somebody to eat from a taruvos where there was a bitul iser likatchila. But says the Shara Melech, that's all good according to the Ravid that holds ein mevatel iser likatchila is an iser deraisa. But according to the Rishonim that hold ein mevatel iser likatchila is an iser derabanan, so on the deraisa level there's no takala. So maybe the Torah set the Torah to address the deraisa level, because on the deraisa level it should be fine. Kamash Mulan, that no, there's halacha in tzipore mitzayre that you're not allowed to use a tzipore from an Irani Nidachas. Says the Chassam Sofer to answer this kasha, a dover nifla. He says, you know what you have to say? He says, you have to say that it's true the Rishonim hold Eim Avatel Isla Chachilas only Yiddis the Rabba, besides for the Ravid and maybe other Rishonim. But it's true Eim Avatel Isla, but that's only by a Taruvus Lach Balach. Taruvus Yavish B'Yavish. Everybody agrees that Eim Avatel Isla Chachilas and Issa Deiraisa. And being that Eim Avatel Isla Chachilas and Issa Deiraisa, that's what the Gemara meant when the Gemara said there's a Takol over here. Why would we go ahead and set up a situation where it would be Eim Avatel Isla, I thought Eim Avatel Isla only Issa Deirabonim. That's true by a Taruvus Lach Malach, but by a Taruvus Yavish B'Yavish, everybody agrees that Eim Avatel is the Nisadei Reis. And says the Chassam Sofer, I'll prove it to you. And the Chassam Sofer says this a few times. He says it in Simin Yotes, he says it Al HaTorah. Says the Chassam Sofer, I'll prove to you that Eim Avatel is the Katkhila by Yavish B'Yavish is the Nisadei Reis. What do you do if you have a trefa? The Torah says, Lakel of Tashlichon Oisai. What do you do if you have a nevela? Lagera Shebesh Orechot Nenavoy Chela. Why do you have to take your trefa and feed it to the dogs? I have a perfect idea. You know what you should do? You should take the trefa, close your eyes, mix it up with a bunch of other animals. Now you're not going to know which one is the treifa. You're going to have a taruvas yavish biyavish. It'll be batal b'raif. You're going to go ahead and eat it. What's the problem? Oh, im havachlinis lekatchila. That's only in the rabban. It's not in the deraisa. So why in the deraisa level the Torah say treifa lekalav tashlichanoisa? The neveli should go ahead and give it to the ger. Luchmeir, what's the big deal? Just close your eyes and do the same. Just make a taruvas. The teretz is because it's taruvas yavish biyavish, and we have a taruvas yavish biyavish. Everybody holds im havachlinis lekatchila. Zoktich sam soifa the parish. Of Nevela and the parasha of Vanir Lanias Daiti, Loshen Achsam Soifer, the Vadai Muchach Menatoira, Shaloy Levatum Isilikatilo, the Eloite Mahachi, Loma Nashlich Trefa the Caliph, Unevela Lenochi Vilager, Voloma Lenevatlen, Uchad betray, Elamai, because it's Taruvas Yavish Biyavish, and by Yavish Biyavish, you don't have the halacha of a dear Aim of Atl Isilikatilo is going to be an Isil Medeirais. It says the Chsam Soifer, with this Yisoy, I want to answer the Chacham Tzvi's Kasha. He says, Rabbi Akinemnin, in Shelos Yaivitz brings a kasha that he heard from his father. The Kamtzvi asked the kasha on the Gemara Masechtes Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. This is Gishmak Arei. There's no time to go into this, but just say over the kasha. And that is, we know that Allah is if there's a Chaylosh Yesh by Sakana, we violate all these surim in the Torah. Everything other than Avodah Zarah, Gilurah, Shvichas Damim, for a Chaylosh Yesh by Sakana. So what happens if you now have to feed a Chaylosh non-kosher food? So what do you do? So we do it with a sensitivity. We try to limit the amount of averus we're going to do. So if there's two things in front of us, we figure out which is more aser, which is less aser, and we give him the kalakal. We give him the one that's the least aser. The Gemara brings a braisa. If you have two things in front of you, one is tevel and one is truma. So which is less? Which one should you give him? What's the kalakal? The tevel or the truma? Tanakama says you give him tevel, you don't give the chayla truma. Ben tema oimer truma v'loy tevel. Oh, my rabbis. Rabbis are like this. Hecha de efshe b'chu. If you could give him chulin, that's the best option. It wasn't possible to give him chulin. I don't understand. I have the perfect eitzah. You know what the eitzah is? The eitzah is you should take the tevel, be mafresh truma, that certainly was an option, be mafresh truma, and then take the truma and mix it together with the shirayim, which is all chulin. So now everything is going to be mutter. What's the problem? The problem is, Eimavatl Nisla Katkhila. Eimavatl Nisla Katkhila is not an Isidai Raisa. So isn't that for sure the best option? What happened? You have Tevel over here. So the question is, should you feed the Chayla Tevel or first be Mafesh Truma and give him the Truma? Those are the two options here. Says the Chamtzvi, I think the best option is to take the Chulin, the tevel, be mafresh truma, stick the truma back into the taruvas, and now everything is going to be butter. What's the issue? Zoktech Sam Soifer, you know what the issue is? It's Eimavatl Nisal Katkhila. Because being that we're dealing with the taruvas of Yavish B'Yavish, by taruvas Yavish B'Yavish, you have Eimavatl Nisal Katkhila. Akoponim, the Chassam Soifer said, Yisai. The Yisai of the Chassam Soifer was that even though Rav Rishonim hold Eimavatl Nisal Katkhila is only in the Siddur Rabbanon, that's when it's taruvas Lach B'Lach. But if it's taruvas Yavish B'Yavish, over there, Eimavatl Nisal Katkhila is going to be Issa de Raisa. That's the way the Chassam Soifer answered the Shara Melech's Kasha, Chulim Kufmem. He answered the Chacham Tzvi's Kasha that the Rabbi Yaakov Emden brings from a Gemara Masech Tzuma Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, and he says the whole parish of Nevela and Treifa would seem to suggest that. Amazingly, this Chiddush of the Chassam Soifer, the Noedi Behuda said as well. Chassam Soifer was Mechamed to the Noedi Behuda. Noedi Behuda is printed in Madura Tinyana, Yerideya Simin Memhe. And the Noedi Behuda was asked by Rab Wolf Boskowitz. He asked him, Harav Achoruf Amuflo, this Kasha. He said, why did the Torah say, Lakelov Tashlich Noisa regarding the Trefa? Why did the Torah say, take the Nevela and give it to the Ger? Why not just be Mevatel with the rest of your food? That's only an Issa Rabbana. And the Noedi Behuda said three terutzim. His third terrace was the Chassam Soifer's terrace. Shlishes ani oimer davar chadosh bedin levatel Issa lekatchila. And his davar chadosh is this Yisoy, that there's a difference between the taruvas lach belach and yavish biyavish. Lach belach eimavatel Issa lekatchila is an Issa Rabbana. Yavish biyavish eimavatel Issa lekatchila is an Issa Raisa. But the Noedi Behuda added one thing. He added a svara. And he says a dover nifla, and this is just something that we'll speak out the svara and we'll pick it up another day. And that is, says the Noedi Behuda, if you think about it, there's a fundamental difference between the taruvas lach balach yavish biyavish. Taruvas yavish biyavish, nothing changed to the dover aser. You have one piece of meat that's non-kosher, and you have two pieces of meat that are kosher. Now that it's a taruvas, you're allowed to eat all three pieces of meat. That's the halacha of Achi Rabbim Lahatas. The two kosher pieces of meat don't change the non-kosher piece of meat. We know there's three pieces of meat. We know that we don't know which is the kosher and the non-kosher. We also know the Torah says roif. So as a result, you're allowed to go ahead and eat all three pieces of meat. Bittul b'roif says that despite the fact I can't identify the kosher versus the non-kosher, it doesn't matter. Eat all three. Taruvas lach balach says the Noid B'Yud is very different. When you have a taruvas lach balach, what's the halacha? Not roif, the halacha shishim. Because of tam kikr. Whether it's deraisa or derabanan, we pass in deraisa. So it's because there's tam. On the deraisa level, you need 60. What happens when you now have 60? Now you have bittul. Not bittul b'roif, bittul b'shishim. What happens when you have 60? Dvir says the Noid B'Yehuda, something very different happened. You know what happened? The whole Sibasa Isser went away. What was the Sibasa Isser? The Tam. Tam ke'ikr. When there's no Tam, you know why it's mutter? Because the Tam's not there anymore. Says the Noid B'Yehuda, they're both called bittul. And they both have to conform to the laws and the Shulchan Aruch of quote-unquote bittul. But at the same time, what happens when the Dover Aser is bottled in a Taruvas Yavish B'Yavish is very different than what happens when the Dover Aser in a Taruvas Lach B'Lach is bottled. In a Taruvas Yavish B'Yavish, nothing changes with the Dover Aser. The Dover Aser is still there. We just can't find it. Says the Noid B'Yehuda, Wodi Valio, Navi would come and he would say, this is the kosher burger, that's the non-kosher burger. Okay, done. That's it. You're out of business. You can't rely on Rav anymore. Rav works when you don't know. But to the extent that you now know, you can't use that Lach HaBitl B'Rav anymore. But by Taruvas Lach B'Lach is different. Taruvas Lach B'Lach, the side of the bitl over here is that as long as the food is nice and tam, then there's tam ke'ikr. Once it's bottle b'shishiv, it's not nice and tam anymore. If it's not nice and tam, there's no tam. If there's no tam, it doesn't make sense for there to be a tam be'it, tam keker. So the point of a bittul b'shishiv and a taruvas lach b'lach is that the dover osur is gone. It's not here anymore. Says the Noid B'Yehuda, when is it okay to be mevatel isl katchil on the iraisa level? That's by a taruvas lach b'lach. Taruvas lach b'lach, where the besoid of the bittul is going to be removing the dover osur, the roiv rishonim held mid-iraisa, it's okay. It's only mid rabbanan name mevatel isl katchil. As it relates to taruvas yavish b'yavish, where even after the bittul, the dover osur is still going to be there, the Noid B'Yehuda said, everyone's going to agree that it's going to be also to be mevatel isl katchil. The bottom line is, the Chasam Sofer and the Noid B'Yehuda, Shneim nischavnu l'davarecha. Not only the same yisoid, they both proved the same yisoid from the same place, from the parshias of Treifa l'kelav tashlichan oisai and Neveva l'ger Hashem b'sharechet et nenev v'achela. And they were both mechadish that even though throughout Shas it's only the shitas arayvit adas yochid that holds eva v'atun isl l'katchila is an isad eraisa. That's with regards to taruvas lach b'lach. As it relates to taruvas yavish b'yavish, everyone agrees it's awesome in eraisa. What's the difference between lach b'lach yavish b'yavish? It's this svara of the Noid B'Yehuda. What happens with the bittul? Does the bittul make the isr not be here anymore? Or no, the isr is still here. What happens if Eliyahu Navi would come? In the case of tam keiki, you'd still be able to eat the taruvas because there's no tam. So if there's no tam, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to eat it. In the case that the yavish b'yavish, what do you mean? Nothing changed with the davar aser. It's the same davar aser as if there would be a taruvas. It's just there's a suffix. But mainly you're allowed to eat it. Being that in one case the bittul is completely obliterating the davar aser, over there you could be mevatel at the katchila. It's only with rabbanan you can't. Where the davar aser is going to remain intact, near a mevatel is the katchila is true even on the deraisa level.